I was sitting in a dentist chair at 9 years of age, maybe 10, frozen in fear. My mom had made a return appointment for me after a checkup in which it was discovered that I had a cavity that needed to be filled. But the dentist, without saying a word, had begun to drill in two places. Why? What was wrong? Had he mistaken me for one of my sisters? What happens to a tooth that gets drilled by mistake if there's not a cavity there? I needed to speak up. I should have waved my hand or something, but I was too afraid. The words were trapped inside me. I was absolutely speechless. I've also been speechless in the face of fast talkers, those who are totally assured in their pronouncements. You know, my gut might really be sure that there's something, something's not quite right, it's off, but I can't put the words of my rebuttal together. My mind is absolutely blank. I want to speak, but I'm speechless. And there are other situations that tie up my tongue. Sadness is one. When my voice is blocked by that lump in the throat and only tears can get by. So is overwhelming joy. When there simply are no words that are deep enough or wide enough to express all that's flowing through my heart. Joy, sadness, confusion, fear. I doubt that I'm alone in that these experiences can render me speechless. And that's what caught my attention in our text this week. Joseph was speechless. Did any of you notice that as it was read this morning? Upon receiving stunning news from an angel about Jesus' holy birth, other people in the Bible had plenty to say. Zechariah, that's the father of John the Baptist, he had questions. Mary sang a song. A song, just a stunning song of praise and prophecy. And the shepherds were told, glorified and praise God. But Joseph was silent. He was speechless. Surely Joseph had gone to bed that night heartbroken. He had been jilted. He'd wrestled long and hard, trying to decide what to do about his unfaithful fiancé. The law of Moses required stoning or at least a public humiliation, and Joseph was a righteous man. He was one who carefully obeyed the law. But love won out over law in Joseph's heart. Compassion ruled the day, and he had made his decision. He would divorce her quietly. He would do his best to spare her shame. And then in his dreams comes an angel with words of a miraculous birth, not a rival suitor at all. The Holy Spirit has done this. Do not be afraid. You can still marry her. Oh, and name him Jesus. Yahweh saves, because he will save his people. And what did Joseph say? Not a word. He was speechless. Was it fear that tied his tongue? Certainly could have been. It wouldn't have been the first time. There isn't any doubt in my mind that angels in the Bible are not the chubby little cherubs or the lovely young women that art that we see would try to convince us. God's messengers in the Bible are intimidating, to say the least. The first words out of their mouths all the time are, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Perhaps it was fear that kept Joseph silent. Or was it confusion? You know, maybe he was bamboozled by angelic fast talk about the Holy Spirit and miraculous virginal conception and a child with an incredible destiny. Could have been. Or sadness or joy. Was he awestruck? We don't know. What we do know is that there are no recorded words of Joseph's anywhere in the Bible. He is described as a man of quiet obedience. He did the astounding thing that God told him to do in his dream. He clung to Mary. He sheltered and protected her. And he embraced the child as his own, naming him a name that was really quite common at the time, but in this case it was prophetic. God saves. There's a meme going around among my circle on Facebook this week that's a jab at the kind of muscular domineering style of masculinity that's favored in a lot of conservative evangelical churches. And the little piece on Facebook says, "Joseph kept quiet and supported his wife's calling from God. Maybe that should be the definition of biblical manhood." Well, maybe so. But what caught my attention this week was simply this, that Joseph was speechless. He had nothing to say. And it made me wonder, you know, sometimes maybe we just say too much. And some of you out there might be nodding your head and saying, "Yeah, you could sit down now." You know. How many rivers of words have been spoken and how many oceans of ink have been spilled to either defend or dismiss this virgin birth that today's texts talk about? I read recently an assertion that the church is losing our best and brightest young people who are embarrassed, even insulted, by a Christianity that insists upon a literal, historical virgin birth. Well, you know, not all of the church insists on it. There are faithful, credible theologians and biblical scholars who've wrestled with centuries on just what reality it is that these words are pointing to. There is a place for a person with honest questions to kneel at the manger, just as there's a place for the one, the believer, who insists that every single detail of the story recounts actual historical fact. There's a place for all of us at the manger. Please, please, let us not waste a moment of time on theological debate, either today, this fourth Sunday of Advent, or on Christmas Eve, or on the Holy Day itself. Let us instead kneel. Kneel in silent awe before the one who has come among us. Because everything in the Bible stories about Christ's birth, all of it is incredible. All that they talk about is awe-inspiring. All of it is mystery. And sisters and brothers, the mystery has to remain. The mystery needs to stay there. I don't know about you, but I was raised in a Protestant Christian tradition that, as one person has said, had all the mystery scrubbed out of it by a vigorous and slightly vinegary reason. And this supremacy of reason, it can come from either the liberal or the conservative perspective. Some of us have moved into faith with our minds first. and insists that every part of it be understood. And we talk and we explain and we debate and we insist that each story must be taken this way. No, 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 it must be taken that way. Well, and, you know, to a point, that's well and good. God gave us minds to be used. But perhaps there comes a point when we should just be like Joseph and stand before the mystery and be speechless, speechless. My college summers were spent as a counselor at the American Baptist camp that served the churches in the Detroit area. And I had a fellow counselor and friend whose name was Joyce, and she was a bright young college student who went to the University of Detroit, which was a Jesuit school. And Joyce talked to me about how she would relentlessly question the nun who taught her religion class about every angle of the Bible and theology and faith and the nature of the cosmos, until one day this dear wise nun exclaimed in exasperation, "Joyce, stop! Some things are just mysteries." Amen. Amen. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Mystery. Mystery. Before this, we stand speechless. Because if there is no mystery, there is no deeper truth. There's no truth beyond the reach of our modern ways of thinking and knowing. If there's no mystery, there's no real embrace of the incarnation. There's no being engulfed by God. Without mystery, there's no inbreaking. There's no indwelling of the eternal in our temporal world. There's no divine invasion of the here and now in the tedious regime of cause and effect. If there is no mystery, there's no Emmanuel, no God with us, because that's a mystery, that God is with us here. Without the mystery, there's no birth with the power to set in motion a revolution of hope in which the blind see and the hungry are fed and the lame dance and the tyrannical powerful are brought down and the wolf lies down with the lamb. Without the mystery of this birth, there is no power for transformation at work in our lives and in the world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he was writing from a Nazi prison cell, understood the necessity of mystery. He said, "The lack of mystery in our modern life is our downfall and our poverty. We destroy mystery because we sense that here we reach the boundary of our being, because we want to be Lord over everything and have it at our disposal. And that's just what we cannot do with mystery. Living without mystery means remaining on the surface, taking the world seriously only to the extent that it can be calculated and exploited, and not going beyond the world of calculation and exploitation. Living without mystery means not seeing the crucial processes of life at all and even denying them." What is it that gave Bonhoeffer the vision, the courage, the strength to gather a confessing church in Hitler's Germany and to resist Hitler's rule even to death while all around other church leaders were complicit with Hitler? It was mystery. It was a mystery that began at the manger. What led Gandhi to stand up to the power of the British Empire? What fueled the Filipinos' people power that rose up against the Marcos regime? What fueled the South African overthrow of apartheid? It's the mystery, the mysterious inbreaking of God that Mary proclaimed when she said, "God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, and has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." Is it not a mystery how last, a year ago in the summer, in response to George Floyd's murder at the hands of a police officer, people all over the country, not just in big cities, but in small towns, and not just young black activists, but all sorts of people poured out of their pandemic isolation and took to the streets to demand an end to racial injustice and policing. That was a mystery. There was a spirit, a power at work that cannot be explained by logic alone. And it's going to take a power from beyond, a spirit, a mystery, a divine inbreaking that we're going to need if we hope to save our planet from the ravages of climate change. Whatever turns us around that corner, it's going to be a mystery. That spirit, that divine invasion, it was set loose on the world in Bethlehem. That revolution of hope, it came in a new way with the mystery of the birth of a holy child, God himself among us. We dare not scrub out the mystery of Christmas, or we'll cut off the spirit of power that our world so desperately needs. And it's not just the world, we need it too. As your pastor, I stand up here less than a week before Christmas and I look out and I know the struggles that so many of you face. Some are struggling with long-term illness, or you're caring for a loved one who is. Some are grieving the loss of one that your heart held close. Others are dreading another winter of pandemic isolation. Depression, anxiety, they're all exasperated by this pandemic that just won't end. Sisters and brothers, cling to the mystery of this birth. For in the mystery is the power that we need. In the mystery is the power to transform our lives. In the mystery of the babe of Bethlehem is a revolution of hope. Cling to the mystery. Come on Friday night to kneel before the manger and take in the story of God's incomprehensible, fierce, and tenacious love for us. And let it leave you speechless. Amen.